Kevin Mendez, CEO of Southern Kisses Dispensary. Alongside me, I have...
Hey guys, what's up? It's your girl, Jacette, with Smoking Notes Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, Mr. Ricky Versetti. Hey!
What's up, y'all? How you guys doing?
Good, good. So, why don't you let everyone know where you're from?
I'm originally from the Dallas area, a little town called Ennis, Texas. But I like to claim my roots. You know, I have roots in a few different towns. So, shout out to Eagle Pass, because, you know, Eagle Pass raised me.
Oh, yeah.
And shout out to San Antonio, because San Antonio embraced me, so.
Hey, yeah. Shout out San Antonio. I got love for San Antonio. Okay, so why don't you let everyone know, like, what industry it is that you're in?
So, basically, I'm an artist. I'm a music artist. And I also do a little bit of acting.
Okay.
So, but I specialize in music. That's my main thing. You know, I started doing a little bit of acting because of my boy JT Campos, man. So shout out to JT for putting me on, you know, to a whole nother world. It's a whole nother world.
Hey.
But, yeah, I love it.
If y'all ain't familiar with JT Campos, he plays Boaz in Queen of the South.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's right.
Check him out. And
check it out on Netflix. Y'all go binge watch that on Netflix, y'all. Season 1, 2, and 3. Season 4 should be on there pretty soon. But go ahead and binge watch that, man. Give my boy some residuals.
Yeah, I think I watched season 1 and 2, and then, you know, life gets you, and then you kind of get caught up, and I haven't finished watching it. But I'm going to finish watching it now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got to. It's actually, you know, it's crazy because me and JT, we've been rocking since before the show, you know. And I remember when he started filming the show, he was doing season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And... When it's season 1 and they're filming, obviously nobody knows what the show is. It hasn't came out yet.
Right.
So, you know, he's doing all this filming and everything, and I'm like, all right, cool. And then all of a sudden I see that he's doing season 2. So I'm like, oh, cool, whatever. But I'm watching Netflix, and you know that big old banner in the top that says, like, watch this?
Yes, yes.
You know, it's Queen of the South, and I'm like, wait, ain't that the shit that JT's on? I tripped out because I was like, that's just on Netflix, and I watched it. That was the first time I watched it, and I actually sat there and watched the whole show because
you get hooked on it. Yeah,
it's
a really good show. Really, really good.
Yeah, I became a fan. So I was actually a fan before, you know, and then after that, we linked up. He wanted to do some music for the show. So we linked up, and we started doing some music based around his character and everything.
Right, so you do, like, kind of like theme music for him, like for the show?
So basically... JT says that I'm like the voice of Boaz, right? So he says that everything that I say in my songs and stuff is kind of how he feels.
Okay.
And so he really embraced the sound and the music. And we just basically, we've been trying to pitch it to the show. You know what I'm saying? To try to get one of the placements on the show. But it's a lot harder than you think.
Yeah.
It's just so many channels and hoops that you got to jump through to really get to, like, the proper people.
Yeah.
But this new season, season 5, I think that we're going to get something going.
Because I listened to City to City, the one with GT Garza and JT.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to GT.
Yeah, shout out GT.
That's my boy.
So I listened to that, and it sounds hard. Like, I hear him. He kind of introducing the beginning of the song and then kind of ending it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely should take a look at that. And
yeah. Actually, for the show, man, we made a song that's kind of catered around the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it features, it's a little secret. Nobody really know this yet. But, you know, we're going to put it out there. It features Big Los. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Big Los. Artist.
Sounds so familiar.
He's an artist out of McAllen.
Okay.
So this guy has, like, millions of views on his videos, man.
Okay.
And so we went out to the Valley, man, and we started working on some music with Big Los. And so we got a song that we think that the show might actually, because it's just so catered to the show.
Yeah, it might make the cut.
Yeah, and not only that, but, like, Big Los's music is basically talks about, like, you know, cartel type stuff.
Right.
You know, life on the border. So, you know, I could relate to that, too, because Eagle Pass is a border town.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah,
what's, like, your connection with you and JT? Like, how'd you guys meet, or how do you know each other?
Mm-hmm.
So, me and JT met, I had just gotten out of prison. So, I did a little bit of prison time, and I had just came home, and I was kind of really trying to get on my feet, you know, and everything was, it was really rough. I was starting over, turning over a new leaf, trying to get something really going.
Right.
And I stumbled across an old friend of mine on Facebook. And they pretty much invited me to to meet these guys that were making these independent movies in San Antonio called RMX Studios. So shout out to RMX Studios, man, for, you know, giving your boy the opportunity. Whenever we started working with RMX, I was just doing the music.
Right.
So, you know, I got one of my songs on the end credits of their movie and everything, and they did a premiere for that movie. They did a premiere at the Josephine Theater in San Antonio. So, you know, they had the red carpet and the limos pulling up and everything. So it was a nice little event. You know, they made a nice little event for their premiere. And JT made a cameo in the movie. And he wasn't even, you know, Queen of the South wasn't even
around
in existence yet. Yeah. So he makes a little, but you know, JT's in a lot of stuff, man. He's in Varsity Blues. He's a stuntman. He's originally a stuntman.
Right.
So he was in the Alamo. He's in Alita Battle Angel. You know, he's been in a lot of stuff before Queen of the South.
Yeah.
So the fact that they had him as a cameo was kind of like a big deal. Like, yeah. Yo, they got JT.
He did Machete too, right?
He did Machete. Okay. Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. He's done a lot of stuff. From Dusk Till Dawn. He's done Dusk Till Dawn. So whenever we did the premiere, that's where I was introduced to JT, you know. Oh. And the thing with me and JT, man, is, you know, it's no secret that we're big, you know, weed smoke connoisseurs, and you know, it's just the truth. And we kind of hit it off that way. Yeah. You know, shout out the cannabis industry.
Definitely.
Shout out to Cookies and Burner and all them guys out there in Cali, man. They always show us so much love when we come out there. But yeah, that's how we linked up. They put us on, and we kind of had that common thing where we both like to kind of smoke and stuff. And next thing you know,
we're having technical difficulties.
Having technical difficulties with the Facebook Live over here.
Well, I looked up JT Compos. Well, I looked him up, and obviously Queen of the South. If you go to Netflix, and on season 3, actually, I believe is the best thumbnail. He's actually the thumbnail of the first episode.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I was like, whoa, this dude has his own thumbnail. Like,
yeah. Like, right
on the first episode.
You know, let me tell you a little story about my brother, man. Like I said, he's originally a stuntman. And when he got on Queen of the South, it was to do stunts. So this is one of those stories that is very rare, but it's just beautiful to hear, you know?
Yeah.
This guy was supposed to do one stunt in one scene, and he was going to die. That was it. He was just, you know, they hired him to do this one stunt, you know, kill yourself and then you die and that's it. and that was it. Well, the thing is, he did the scene so well that they actually wrote a character for this guy. And he went from being a stuntman that was supposed to be in one scene to dying to season 5 being one of the main characters that sits at the table with Teresa Mendoza, which is
right.
The lead character.
Exactly.
So in essence, he's one of the lead, you know, he became a lead character from being a stuntman. So that's kind of like in music would be the equivalent of, you know, you're at a nightclub doing karaoke and Quincy Jones walks in and hears you and gives you a record deal.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't happen, but it happens. And yeah. So that's his story. So, you know, I think that's just amazing, man, to be able to, you know, be blessed to be surrounded by that and by people like that, that, you know, have those kind of capabilities and talents. It just rubs off on you. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. The experience has been beautiful.
I would imagine. And, like, the cast of Queen of the South, a lot of people don't know, but John Ecker, he plays Weddle.
Yeah.
And he's actually, like, a telenovela icon, because his dad was, like, an icon in all the telenovelas, like Salomé and, like, all the other Univision.
A lot of people don't know that.
But a lot of people don't know that. So
and they also have Poncho Herrera on there, who is a telenovela superstar from, like, from Rebelde.
Yeah,
you know,
my mom
this,
was
a novella
fan.
That's like the equivalent of Miley Cyrus.
And, JT, you know, to work with people like that, that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
For sure. And you know, work with him, so.
Yeah.
I met y'all in San Antonio about a year ago at the Quartermain Pub. You and him were performing, I think.
For GT Garza?
Yeah, Shane Holden is the one who was promoting that.
Yeah. That was, I wasn't even supposed to be on that show. It's crazy because, you know, GT's, that's like family, you know, that's our go-to guys out here in Houston when we come out here, you know, GT Garza.
Yeah, him and Money are, they're cool people.
Yeah, Rob G, you know, those are my people out here, man. So, they, you know, they, anywhere that they go, if they're around somewhere close, we're going to show love, you know?
Yep.
So that's just what we were going to do, show up to San Antonio. So we're coming to the city, so of course we're going to go show them love. And Shane hits me up and he's like, hey, man, you want to perform? And I was like, man, I'm always ready.
Shout out Shane.
Yeah, shout out Shane, man, and Pete. Man, yeah, you asked me to perform, I'm gonna be ready. So, you know, that's how that happened. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was listening to you. I was like, yeah, he don't sound bad at all. I'm like,
I also saw a picture of you and Veronica Falcón.
Oh, yeah, Camila.
Camila.
Yeah, Camila, yeah.
Camila Vargas. And JT, when he does his, I don't want to, like, spill too much, but when he does his entrance in season 3, I believe, he comes out, like, with a Big Mac Daddy gift of a huge gold statue of Epifanio, and I was like, whoa.
I was there when they filmed that scene, man.
That was wild.
That was actually my first time ever on set with these guys. He was like, come on, man, we're gonna, you know, they actually filmed Queen of the South in Dallas.
Wow.
So a lot of people don't know that, you know, that the show from season 1, 2, and 3 were filmed in Dallas.
I got people out there in Dallas. Hey.
Yeah. And season 4 and season 5, well, season 5 hasn't been filmed yet because, you know, all of this pandemic stuff that's happening. But season 4 was actually filmed in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they moved everything to New Orleans. So shout out to New Orleans for giving me all those parking tickets.
So, for City to City, are y'all planning to do a music video for that?
Actually, I have a bunch of footage from my different trips to different cities for a video.
Is that how you're going to kind of snip them together?
So the original idea was to get GT in the video.
Right.
And, you know, GT, of course, we were going to do it and everything. And so we were trying to coordinate that, and then this lockdown happened.
Oh, I know.
So it kind of scared everybody back into their own little holes, you know what I'm saying? And I don't blame nobody.
Yeah.
So, you know, GT kind of, everybody kind of did their thing for a little bit. So we're waiting for everybody to kind of start coming back out to see if we're going to finish that video. But we do have visuals, for the video.
Okay. I was looking, I was like, they don't have a video for it yet.
No. I actually have footage from Miami. When I'm actually in Miami with the guys from Cartel Crew from VH1.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are our people out there in Miami. I got footage with them, footage in New York, footage in LA, footage in San Francisco, and then, you know, we're gonna get the footage out here in Houston. So yeah, city to city. I hope to finish that soon.
You got City to City on your phone?
I do. And
go ahead and play that.
What projects are you currently working on that you want everybody to know?
Yeah.
So This is the thing that I got going on right now that I want everybody to check out. I'm doing this little thing where I have a shitload of music that's just ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with me, man, is that, you know, I'm a rapper first because, you know, hip-hop, that's just where it all started. But I've just evolved so much over time. And as you get older, you know that my music is just touching on so many different genres.
Right. And that's what I was going to ask you, too, because you have, like, a diverse mixture of music. It's like rap, hip hop, Latino.
Yeah.
You know, like the Latino hip hop, like things like that. So, like, yeah.
So, you know, one of the main problems that I've had in this industry coming across, like, with, like, labels and, like, executives and stuff like that, is that when you start working with these labels and executives, the first thing they want to do is categorize you.
Exactly.
What genre are you? Because it's understandable because that's the way that they market you. They need to know that.
Right.
Who, you know, what is your target audience? The good and the bad thing from being an independent artist, the good thing is that I don't have to do that. You know?
They can make whatever I want,
but now I have to figure out a way to market myself to where it's acceptable, to where all my fans don't expect to just hear one sound from me. Artists like GT Garza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in the studio with him one time and I was like, why don't you do some songs like this? He's like, my fans won't like that. And I didn't never really understand that because I wasn't at that level of my fans ain't gonna get it. You know, I ain't had no fans.
Yeah.
But you know, a guy like
whatever.
Yeah, but you know, a guy like Garza, you know, who's established in the industry and stuff like that, I could see at that point why he didn't want to stray away from what he did. And so that kind of like put things into perspective for me because I was like, I don't want to be that like that. You know, I don't want to be able to have to restrict myself like that because I don't just rap, you know. I'm a big fan of R&B music.
What is your favorite type of music to listen to?
R&B music, yeah. And a lot of people look at me and be like, you don't look like you like R&B music, but that's just my shit.
Yeah.
R&B music,
I like
is a vibe.
Early, like, 90s, late, early 2000s R&B.
Yeah, that's I have my core,
who's your core
artist
band?
That I like?
Like R&B band, yeah. Core. Who would you pick?
My favorite R&B artist?
Band or artist?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I got a few. As far as, like, just overall music, my favorite musician of all times has always been and will always be Michael Jackson.
I was like Jagged Edge, my girl.
Yeah.
But that's just because as a kid he really like made me want to be a performer. He made me want to be on stage, like just watching what he would do and how he could captivate an audience.
I remember having a little tape back in the day for y'all youngsters who don't know. We had tapes and we had it in the stereo, and it had like two tape players, so it would play his tape, and then I'd have another tape, and then I'd have the microphone plugged into the stereo.
Oh, yeah.
Then I play the tape and hit record and try to record myself singing Michael Jackson. Yeah, that's how it was.
Yeah. That's how you did a demo tape back in the day.
That was back in the day, yeah.
So do you want to describe what this track you just sent me, Monumento?
So Monumento, so that's actually one of my new, it's a Latin track.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it's a Latin track, so it's in Spanish. It's got like a kind of islandy vibe to it, reggaetonish vibe to it. I can't really say it's reggaeton. I would say it's more like an island vibe. But it's something new that you know, me and Ace One, my producer Ace One, shout out to Ace, man. He makes most of my music for me.
Okay.
You know, we kind of played around with it, and we were like, let's see what happens, man. And so like, I want to put it out to the world, see what the world
is. Right, so I'm going to play it right now.
Go for it.
We might talk a little over it, but it's okay.
It's all good.
You might want to turn that up. Right there. Mm-mm. Oh, now you can hear the island-y vibe, That's you singing?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Like I said, we're trying a little something
different.
So obviously there's a vibe with, you know, what you're associated with, especially with Queen of the South. Not just because a lot of the actors are networked with Monterrey or major parts of Mexico, but out here in Houston. So where do you think your biggest like fan base is?
It's crazy you say that, because on the way over here we were just discussing that. All of my analytics and stats across all my platforms say Houston is where most of my fans are at.
Okay.
So shout out to Houston. I love Houston for that, man. They're the ones that play my music the most. So I love you guys. Thank you for that. I'm here in Houston right now. And yeah, man.
H-Town.
H-Town, baby. What it do?
Now, you've obviously discussed a little bit about cannabis. And then the purpose of my role on the show is to educate the public on cannabis.
Absolutely.
So are you pro or against?
I'm pro all the way. Pro. Professional.
Hey.
How do you feel cannabis influences you and your artistry and creating music?
You know, I suffer from very bad anxiety. So cannabis to me is like my go-to. I've never like taken pills, like whether it be for recreational use or for medicinal.
Right.
Pills is just like they make me sick. Like literally, like I start to want to throw up and food don't start to sit well. So I don't like pills. But you know, cannabis, man, it's always just been my go-to. It helps with it just calming. It's calming.
Yeah, it calms people's anxiety and stress.
And you know, it has so many medicinal, effects and benefits that people. It's just been. I think it's been something that's been demonized. You know what I'm saying? And when you run campaigns and demonize something for so long,
people start to believe it.
People will believe it, you know, that people will believe it. But yeah, you know, it's definitely not anything that, I mean, I don't really drink too much. You know, I rarely drink. So, I haven't had a drink in months. I can say that. So, you know, I don't come home, have a beer, but I will come home, have some cannabis. So that's my thing. Yeah, that's my thing, you know? Yeah.
Nice. Now I'm going to go into some deeper questions.
Let's do it.
If you could create any edible, what would you create and why?
Ooh. You know, I just got the magical butter maker yesterday. I didn't get to use it because I got it so late and I had to come to Houston today. So I'm waiting to get back. And if I could make any edible in the world, though, I don't know, man.
You can get creative. Like, use your imagination.
Anything. We've had what? Someone say elote. We've had someone say ice cream.
That's what I was thinking, actually. Ice cream. I was thinking like some ass, some rocky
roll. I just had cannabis cheesecake.
I forgot what else. There's like different. Everyone's having like different ideas.
Yeah, we were actually watching Netflix last night, man. And we were watching that cooking with cannabis. So we were watching these guys, you know, really cook their ass off, man. They were doing these gourmet, you know, style plates. And I'm like, man, what are these guys? That shit looks good. But I was thinking ice cream for some reason.
Rocky Road. Rocky Road.
I have a sweet tooth, yes, Rocky Road.
That's my favorite, yeah.
Or a banana split. Oh, a cannabis banana split.
Cannabis-infused
bananas. You know what I'm saying?
That might work.
Cannabis-infused bananas.
How do you believe cannabis impacts your industry in particular?
Oh, cannabis is huge in my industry. I mean, I haven't come across... I can't say I haven't, but... let me put it this way. I've come across people in the industry that you would think don't, you know, indulge in the cannabis lifestyle, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually very, you know, it's very prominent and very present in the industry all around. From, you know, you'll see a director. I'm not putting any names out there. You'll see directors, you know what I'm saying, all the way down to the actors, artists, just everybody. So it's definitely very present.
What tools or equipment are important to your profession or your business?
Tools,
microphone, mixer, what have you.
Oh man,
something that's important to you that you use on a daily basis.
The most important thing for all of us is the computer. You need a computer. You can't do nothing without a computer. You can't record.
Oh my god, that's so true.
You can't mix. You can't do this what we're doing right now.
Really?
So yeah, the computer.
So what's extremely innovative about the cannabis industry is there are a lot of people like myself, and they're trying to basically create products with the cannabis tree.
Right.
Whether that be fibers.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
People are creating. I know one person that is actually has a company that builds homes.
Oh, I heard of that. Out of hemp or something like that, right? Yeah, that, man, like I said, the reason that they, you know, demonize something like that is because you basically put down so many people out of business with just one swing, man. You're taking out so much. And we all know that, you know, the economy is driven by the dollar bill.
Right.
So if you're affecting somebody's pocket, it's gonna be some issues. And that's just life in general, you know, and it's been like that since like the beginning of time. You know, if you really, like, I do a lot of research on history and stuff, and history just tends to repeat itself over and over.
Speaking of time, when was your first time or your first encounter with cannabis?
Oh, man, you know what? I actually started kind of late compared to, like, a lot of my friends. Everybody has these, I was 13 and I was 14. I was actually, like, 17 years old the first time I,
I actually
smoked some weed.
That's probably about how old I was.
A pretty well aged teenager.
I remember that. It was crazy because I was always an athlete. So, you know, growing up, you know, junior high, I played sports. High school, I played sports.
What sports did you play?
I played football. My main sport where I really, you know, prospered the most was baseball. But you know, I played football, I ran track, I pretty much did everything except for basketball and soccer. I was too short to play basketball. Too lazy to play soccer. These motherfuckers run too much, that's all they doing, and then they don't score no goals, so it's like, I'm not finna do that. So you know, I was pretty on the straight and narrow, and then on my freshman year my mother passed away, and I was actually living in Ennis, Texas, you know, in the Dallas area. And my dad just packs up and says, let's go. And we move to Eagle Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we get to Eagle Pass...
I've driven through there. I've never stopped.
Let me tell you something about Eagle Pass, man. That's a whole nother world. It's a border town.
Oh, yeah.
And it's predominantly Hispanic. Now it's a little more diverse because of the Border Patrol. You know, you see more different people coming. But when I got there, it was just all Mexicans. Straight up, like not even exact, like it was just all Mexicans. And I was still, you know, on the straight and narrow, but I remember witnessing something in the locker room for the very first time that kind of tripped me out, you know?
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, no, I had never been around drugs, really. Like, my friends were all like me. You know, we were still young. Mm-hmm. We were all kind of, you know, athletes. And we were just good kids. And I'm here in the locker room, man, and I see our star running back snorting some cocaine.
What the?
Yeah, in the locker room, man. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Is this dude? And I remember at first, I was so naive about it, man, that I didn't even believe what I was. I was like, ah, he just bullshitting. But that dude wasn't bullshitting.
You're like, you know, oh, shit.
Yeah, and then I see somebody else.
That's not baby powder.
Yeah, no, that's not sugar powder, man. And after that, I started to be exposed to a whole nother world. Like, the border, you know, so much comes through the border. And, you know, you have so much that goes on the border.
Yep.
And it leaks over, you know? And so I remember that my friend comes running out across the yard. I'm sitting in the car waiting to leave, and he's got his bag of weed, and he's waving, and he's like, we're gonna get high today. And I was like all nervous and shit, like, I don't know bro. He's like, man, it's just weed,
you gonna give me a joke?
And I was like, I don't know, bro. And then next thing you know, we went to Mexico, and we drove into these woods. We call it the monte. We went into the monte, into the woods, and we were just out there in the woods with some friends. And he rolled this ugly ass joint. The ugliest joint I'd ever seen. That shit sounded like one of them baby rattles, like it's all loose and shit. Yeah. But we smoked it, and I got so high, I remember. And ever since then, it was a wrap after that.
Hey.
Yeah, it was a wrap.
Hey, I was hooked.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a gradual process.
Right.
It started off with, I would only smoke with the homeboys when the homeboys had it. Mm-hmm. And then they started complaining, like, you ain't never put no money in on it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I start putting money in on it, and I don't want to share it with them. You know, I'm like, shit, I want to smoke this myself. And that's how it started, man. And yeah, now it's like, that's my thing.
So now you have, you created Versetti Entertainment. Why don't you tell us about that? Like, what is Versetti Entertainment?
So Versetti Entertainment basically is, I'm like 100% completely independent. Like, everything I do. Literally, you know, I don't have any investors. I don't have any record labels putting up anything.
Right.
Everything you see come from me has literally come from, you know, my own blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
And so I take pride in that.
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so once you start doing stuff like that, you start to come across the business side of things.
Uh-huh.
And you got to kind of break everything off into, like, you know, you got a record label, you got a media company, you got this, you got that. And so I created Versetti Entertainment kind of as an umbrella.
Right.
So that kind of covers everything.
Like, and a whole.
Exactly. Versetti Entertainment is pretty much everything. And we're even talking about starting to do some, you know, Versetti real estate.
Oh.
So, yeah. So it's
cool.
Yeah. So,
are you going to have your face, like,
no, probably not.
Are you on a bench like a lot of realtors?
No, no. And it's funny you ask that question about my face, because I like, on my album covers, if you check out my album work, like, none of them have my face. I rarely show my face
on, like,
my album
work, correct?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I saw a couple album. I mean, you can see them on the Apple Music.
The only one is the see, like, that's a cartoon. So that don't even look like
that
me.
That really ain't my face.
That ain't even me. That don't even look like me. But the only one that's my face is the City to City one. Yeah, and that's because
it's like far away too, so.
Yeah, and that was actually a picture we took when we came down here to link up with GT. We had just left the studio, and we went downtown. GT wanted to go downtown and have some drinks, so we were sitting at the bar kind of just chilling. And like I said, I don't really drink, so I'm just there just chilling.
Yeah.
And they're all just kicking back, having their drinks, and they had this bench that looked like it was like the Shine Boots. And, you know, JT goes and sits up there, and then I go and sit up there, and then I was like, man, this would be a dope picture. And we called GT, like, hey, come sit here. And next thing you know, I think it was P, either Shane or P that took that picture. And we just turned it into the album cover because it looked pretty dope.
Yeah, it is. It is dope.
Yeah, it looked pretty dope. But that's the only one, actually, that you can see. And you have to guess who Ricky Versetti is, because there's three people in there. So, you know.
Who can you thank for having part in your success?
Wow. There's so many people to thank. You know.
Are your biggest influencer?
It's kind of been more of a faith. It's been through phases, you know. Like, we kind of, you don't achieve success or whatever people want to define success as. As just like, boom, boom, you're successful.
Right.
It's kind of like when you're going through it, it's like phases. And like the first phase, you know, certain people help me out.
Right.
And then those people go on to do different things sometimes.
Right.
Or your visions change. And then, you know, I've always said whoever starts with me or rides with me is always welcome to ride with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those people just, we want to go do this now. And it's like, yeah, no doubt, you know, go do that. And then you start another phase. And then from there, you know, like here, everything that we've been doing recently, you know, has been, you know, thanks to my brother JT. You know, me and JT linked up. And the thing when me and JT linked up, it was like, we could attack everything from so many different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're in a room and you need an actor, well, we have a professional actor. Or
right.
You need some music, well, we have somebody that does music.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or you need both, well, we have somebody that does both. You know what I'm saying?
And you control all that. Because if you didn't have everything, you know, then you would lose creativity. If you
exactly.
didn't have investors,
exactly.
you would lose all that creativity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, being in total control of your craft is, it's a beautiful feeling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
I mean, I remember for me, I never thought that I would get out of struggle, like, ever. And now I'm out of struggle, you know what I mean? Sometimes when you're in it, you think there's no way out of it. But then
you know,
when you're out
you know,
of it.
You know what? I've never felt that way, man, because I've always thought that, you know, everything, whatever you think is what you're going to make happen. Eventually, you got
True.
To a point to where you thought that you could get out of that
You're
struggle.
The only person that can handicap yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I truly believe that. So I've always, every struggle that I've come across, man, has really been like about a perspective for me. Yeah, it sucks to go through these things, but I always kind of like see a struggle like, okay.
It's a lesson learned.
Yeah, like
the bridge is stepping stone.
At the end of the day, if something mm-hmm. doesn't literally kill you and you can live to fight another day, then there's always hope for something
yep.
else, for something
exactly.
better. You know?
Exactly.
And if you're always thinking that, well, man, my life sucks, and things are hard, or man, this is, you know, nobody's helping me, it's you're always going to stay stuck like that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
That brings me to my next question. When was the highest and when was the lowest point in either your personal life or your career?
Oh, the lowest point to me was when I went to the penitentiary, because you just feel so useless in there. You know, the world is going on around you, and you feel like you stayed stuck in that last moment that you were in when you were outside.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you had friends, you feel like you still have those friends, because that's where you stayed. You know, those are the last memories you made, but those friends go on and do other things.
Right.
You know, and they don't necessarily forget about you, but their life goes on, and your life just feels like
kinda
it's at a standstill.
Yep, exactly.
Man, that shit feels so horrible, especially to a person like me that had so many dreams. You know, like I always dreamed so big, and
right.
I always had so many goals, and I wanted to do this, and I want to do that. And when you got me stuck in there, it's like,
got you thinking for
yeah.
sure now.
and not only that, but when you're in there, you're literally at the mercy of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do anything for yourself, even if you wanted to. They don't give you a job in there. They don't, you know, I wasn't in the feds, so they don't give us a job in there. Well, they do give you a job, but they don't pay you.
Right.
So they don't, you know, there's nothing you can do in there to self-sustain or self-support. You literally got to take what they give you, or your family has to provide for you. And, you know, I was always the person that provided for my family.
Mm-hmm.
So my family always came to me and asked me, you know, for help. And I was always the person helping them. So they couldn't help me. If they could, I know they would have.
Right.
You know, I know my family would have
yep.
definitely been there for me. They were there for me in other ways. But, you know, I'm in there and I'm just stuck. I can't do shit for myself. And so I could tell these people in there all these stories of, man, I used to do this and I was that and I had all this money. And they looking at me like, you ain't even got a suit, bro. How you going to sit there and throw all of this big
yeah.
life around and you ain't even got a suit? You know, like, and it was true.
Yep.
I didn't even have a
yep.
fucking suit to my name because I couldn't go to commissary.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think I went to commissary like 3 or 4 times in 3 years. You know, people go to commissary every two weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was definitely my lowest point in my life, period. Because I felt so helpless, so useless, and so pointless. I just
yep.
felt like a pointless individual. Like, I'm just here for nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
And my best moment, man, I've had a lot of them here lately. It's kind of hard to put it into just one.
Quote earlier today, John Gotti said, even a lion is still a lion behind a cage.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And that's what I was telling myself in my head. Like, I'm not here to prove anything to anybody in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know what I'm capable of out there.
Yeah.
You know, once I get, I might be who I am in here because I'm at the mercy of somebody.
Right.
You know, but cut me loose. Let me show you what I could do. You know what I'm saying? And sure enough, man, I got out on August 30th, September something, right? So September, by New Year's Eve, I had a show New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I literally had to start from scratch. Like, nobody knew who I was.
What September did, when was that? September
it
what?
It was in 2013.
Oh, okay. I was like,
no,
was it recent?
No, I actually went in 2010 and got out 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
For 3 years.
And then got everything. And then, you know, I finished my parole and put everything behind me in 2016.
Awesome,
you know, I'm proud of that. I think that was one of my highest moments right there when I finished my parole. And I remember walking into my last parole meeting, and the guy's like, "Well, this is your last meeting." I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "All right, cool, you're done." And I'm like, "That's it?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, no papers to sign, nothing." He's like, "Nah." I'm like,
"Hey, it ain't as easy as people think." I know, you know, I got friends or family or, you know, people I know that have been on parole, and it ain't as easy as people
it seems. Nah, it's not easy. And you know what? I never stopped with the cannabis while I was on parole. And I risked it every time.
I'm glad you bring this up because I just got an email.
They can't do nothing to me now as a vocal.
I've been emailing with the managing director of Roll It Up for Freedom program. So basically, Roll It Up for Freedom program is dispensary owners like me or, you know, big CEOs in the cannabis industry. We're gathering together and we are providing felons that have a criminal record, but only with possession. They cannot have a violent background.
Right.
And we're offering jobs.
Really?
We're giving them job opportunities.
Wow.
I commend
you on that, brother.
So, she's been emailing me and she's like, basically, they're sending us free product. They're sending us free, like, boxes where you donate to, you know, a lot of these criminals never even deserve to be locked up over, like, something that doesn't even have the potency.
I deserve to be like that. I did.
He's like, I had a lot.
Yeah, I did.
And I actually hired my first employee about 2 weeks ago, and I gave him a shot, and I've been helping him out a lot. And he's been homeless because he had that charge for possession. It literally destroyed his life.
Yeah, the littlest thing can change your life. That's crazy.
And you know what? That an act of kindness like that will provide somebody with so much hope. You know,
more people have to be open. Like a majority of society, they don't.
Yeah, they won't be.
They won't hire somebody like that.
You know what's crazy, man? They give people that have gotten caught with drugs, they're penalized more than people that kill people that hurt children, people that rape women. Let me tell you something. When I got out of the penitentiary, they release you in groups.
Right.
And you hear these guys and they're talking about how they're going to go get, as soon as you get out as a felon, you qualify for government assistance. You can literally get out today and tomorrow you go to the food stamp office and they'll give you food stamps, like emergency food stamps. They'll give you money. They'll give you all kinds
of
shit.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that.
You can have a rape charge. You can have a murder charge. You can have but if you have a drug charge, you don't qualify for that.
That's crazy. See, Evan, you gotta take that to the board.
Tell me that ain't.
I gotta take that to the board.
That's not some fucked up shit.
Excuse
my French.
Yeah.
But tell me that is not some fucked up shit. I'm like, so hold on, because I sold drugs to people that were willingly buying the drugs, and we're gonna go buy them anywhere else if I didn't have them.
Regardless,
yeah.
I don't get the help that everybody else gets that hurt people, that rob people.
Dude, I served my military for 4.5 years. And whenever I finally got into struggle was right after Hurricane Harvey here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, me and my girl were in a tough spot. And it sucked. Like, as a guy, you don't want to go apply for food stamps.
For real.
You know?
For real.
But I did. Like, I'd rather me than her.
Right.
So I went, and the lady told me I only qualify for $15.
Wow.
I said, 50? She said, no, 15.
The system's so fucked up, it's ridiculous.
Dude, I'm from my country. How messed up is that? Right?
They give more to people who are not even fucking doing a goddamn thing for themselves than a person that's working and the whole all their money's going straight to bills and not being able to provide for their family, and you're gonna give this other person like $600 and this one person like $50? What the hell is wrong? Like bucks, what? Yeah. Really? Like yeah. That? They need to like recheck all that.
A big part of it though is education. Know.
Yeah.
You have to educate yourself no matter what it is. And that's why I tell everybody. Everybody's like, Evan, I want to get in the cannabis industry. I'm like, educate yourself. Because my word can only take you so far.
Yeah.
So, so going back, what do you think was the highest or your highlight of your career?
Considering all of the good things that have been happening so far, it wouldn't even be fair to just name one. But I'm gonna name one because to me, you know, growing up and being influenced by these people, and then to be able to sit in the same room with these people,
right,
and have a normal conversation with these people and hear them tell us, you know, the background stories that you don't hear unless you're in these inner circles,
right?
You know, before all of this happened, we got to smoke with Be Real from Cypress Hill.
Okay.
And that to me was like one of my highlight of my career. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like I said, it would be unfair because I've met some other great people. You know, like my people in Miami. Whenever I was blessed to be introduced with those people in Miami too, man, they've also showed us so much. You know, it's hard to find genuine love in the industry.
Right, yes. You very true. Very true.
You find love. Like, people will show you support. They'll show you love. But to find genuine love, the love that you feel, like, yo, these people really fuck with me.
Yeah.
Because they just fuck with me as a person.
Exactly.
You know, that's rare.
Right.
And so, you know, like, you know, my Miami people, they've showed us that kind of love. You know, our Houston people out here, they've showed us that kind of love. And, you know, to be, like I said, to be in the presence of a legend like Be Real, and, you know, him being so heavily into the cannabis industry himself, you know, Mr. Green Thumb himself, man. I was in this. And then he's telling us the stories about, you know, how he came up with the song, Dr. Green Thumb, and, you know, about, you know, all of this, you know, the beginnings of their career. And I'm hearing this, and I'm just getting all these gems, man. And that, to me, I was sitting in that room with these guys, and I didn't just smoke with them once. I smoked with them a few times. You know, like, Be Real has really showed us. He shows JT so much love, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever rides with JT, he shows them love, too. So, you know, I'm always with JT.
I love JT. I check him out every now and then when he's on his live, and he seems real cool, down to earth. Like, kind of like, reminds me of, like, my deal or something.
I've spent a lot of time with my brother, man. I see every side he has to offer. Let me tell you, that's one wild dude right there.
What advice do you have for others that are in your industry or interested in becoming involved in your industry, becoming an actor or a musician? What advice do you... What's your number one tip for them?
Man, my number one tip is you really just have to believe in yourself first and foremost.
Right.
And I don't mean believe in yourself on some, I'm good, I'm dope. No, I mean, believe in yourself to the point to where you're willing to put your last dollar into yourself because you know that's going to bring you something back. If you're that good, if you feel that good about yourself and you're that good at what you do, then that's the main thing you need to do, believe in yourself. Because the one thing that I've noticed, you know, from my peers and from the people that I came up with, they all just gave up. You know, they got to a point to where they just stopped doing what they were doing.
No.
They stopped pursuing it.
And it's easy to give up.
And you give up because you come to a point to where you're like, well, maybe this shit ain't worth it. I've questioned myself that way many times.
Right.
You know? This shit worked it. You know, because, man, y'all get to see all the pretty stuff. You know, like, y'all get to see the pretty pictures on Instagram.
Right.
And y'all get to see the nice videos. And y'all get to hear all the finished polished
product. People don't get to see behind the scenes.
let me tell you a little story, right? just to put it in a perspective, right? And this is recently, man. This is a few months ago before all of this shit started popping up. We had a show in San Francisco, right? And San Francisco, we drive every the fuck wherever that we go. San Francisco took us like 30 hours to get there, you know? So we get to San Francisco literally the day of the show. We're already pretty much about to be late. So the whole idea is just drive straight to the show, we'll get a hotel, and we'll change up, shower up, go straight to the show.
Right.
Good. Well, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Cali, but shit in Cali is very fucking expensive.
Oh, yeah, I lived in Santa Monica for a little bit.
Yeah, okay, so the Bay is fucking ridiculously expensive. And then on top of that, it was a festival going on. So they were like, oh yeah, rooms were like $400 a night at like a Motel 6. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but good luck finding a room. So they were like, if you can find one, it's gonna be about $400, but there's no rooms anywhere.
Wow.
So we
make friends out there.
Yeah. So we took off to the thing is that we have people that we stay with in San Francisco, but we were maybe like 45 minutes away, which was where the show was at.
Right.
And we literally drove to the YMCA and walked into the YMCA and we took showers at the fucking YMCA and came out dressed up, you know, ready to go, dressed to impress, and went and did the show.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
You know,
real
though. You know, and JT's already season 4 on the show, you know, and it's like, here we go, we showered at the YMCA. And that's the thing that I respect so much about my brother, man, is that he's remained humble through it all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like real he's humble.
He ain't fucked up about going to taking a shower at the YMCA, you know? So that's what we did, you know? It was, you know, it's stuff like that that people don't get to see, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's, oh, y'all showed up and checked into a suite. Nah, we sure didn't.
So, sorry. Where do you see Ricky Versetti in 10 years?
In 10 years, I pretty much see myself overseeing other artists. What I want to do is I want to educate, like you say, I want to help educate artists that are coming up, and that I basically want to do what people didn't do for me.
Right.
Because it's taken me a while to get to this point because, again, nobody ever took me under their wing. Nobody ever helped me. I literally learned everything by bumping into walls and bumping my head up against shit. So, you know, I want to be able to help people and be like, look, this is what you got to do. This is what you don't do. You know, this is what you stay away from. This is what you got to look for. And that's what I want to do overall. I want to go back and just help, like, you know, the other artists.
Definitely. And to me, what I found out is I was, like, busting my ass off for years, right? And then towards the end, I was like, I can't. It's not that I couldn't take it anymore, but I was overworking myself, and it was like, for what? I'm a one-man band, and I can't do it all.
Yeah.
But then I started educating other people that wanted to, you know, be a part of the cannabis industry, start their own journey. And not to be, like, brag, but I found more results with educating one person, because then they would be, like, starting their own endeavor, and then they would tell all their friends, hey, I started doing this, but I learned from him.
Right.
He taught me.
Right.
And, I mean, word of mouth spreads like crazy.
Crazy.
So, who have you networked with or collaborated with that has the highest following or platform that you can say?
Recently, I would say Big Los. Because, like I said, Big Los, his videos hit the millions. And, wow. You know, yeah, his videos hit the millions. I'm talking about 20, 30 million, you know? So, I was real excited when he liked the song that we did so much that he was like, let's do a video to it.
You're like, when?
That's exactly what I said. I was like, bro, you just say the word. And literally, we were talking about doing the video, and like 2 weeks later, the shutdown happened. And, when, you know.
How was quarantine for you? Like, what were y'all doing to kill time?
Man, let me tell you something. If I'm not on the road, or if I'm not doing something with music, I'm chilling at the crib. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a dude that likes to be in the mix too much. Mm-hmm. I'm very introverted. My circles are small.
You have to protect your energy, man.
Yeah. So exactly. You know, I protect my energy. Yeah, so I don't just let anybody into my space. So being at home was just like cool to me. Oh yes, nobody has to book me. Nobody, I don't have to feel obligated to be anywhere. You know, and it was good. But at the same time, you know, it's not like shit just stopped.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm a creative, so I could create in any space. Mm-hmm. And I'm also blessed to have my own space at my home. You know, to be able to create. So in the studio, I was, you know, I've still been creating.
Okay.
And then with Ace, you know. I'm also blessed enough to have a producer like Ace One that I feel so comfortable with that I know that, look, here's this, Ace, make me that.
Yeah.
And then just get back to me. I don't gotta be there like, oh man, I don't like that, change it. No, like, so it was actually pretty smooth transition.
I think I was going crazy. Yeah. It's just because I'm used to going out. Like, I like to go out to eat. If anybody knows me, I like to go out to eat.
Did you go out? You was one of those that was at the restaurant the first day. They said it's
yes,
only.
I was at the bar.
She was buying pies too. You're buying pies.
If y'all haven't been to House of Pies here in Houston, y'all gotta go check them out there.
House of Pies.
They got all kinds of
You've
pies.
Never been to House of Pies?
No.
No, y'all gotta look them up when y'all leave House here. Of House of Pies. There's two locations.
You have
Anyway, they're awesome.
You get
their
pies on the way home.
Yeah, so their pies are awesome. I was going on a crazy pie fest. and then when they opened the bars up, I was like,
the bars are open?
Yes.
The bars are open in San Antonio.
Oh, well, they're open here. I was at the bar last
you just came
Saturday.
From San Antonio? Yeah.
You haven't really been out here?
Have you been out here lately? Is the way
for
you?
No, not lately. No?
Yeah. So I was at the bar last Saturday, the second day they were open. Shout out to my awesome bartender, Joe.
Gisette had a blast last weekend.
Yeah, I was by myself. I was like, fuck it, I don't even know when to go with me.
She sent me all these pictures, and I was like, man, I should have gone with Gisette.
Gisette turned up by herself.
Oh, yeah.
What does your average day look like? What's a day in the life of Ricky look like?
Oh, y'all don't want to know. I sleep a lot, man. Yeah, I like to hibernate. Now, you know what? There is no average day.
No.
That's the thing. There is no average day because, nowadays, especially nowadays, this quarantine shit has made staying home average, but on a normal occasion, it's, I could just be home chilling, and then I just get a phone call, and it's like, hey, we're going to California tomorrow. It's like, oh, okay. So
that's dope.
I think that's like my normal day. Like, I'm just kind of sitting around waiting. If I don't have already things to do, what are we going to do? And, next thing you know, it's like, we got to go do this or we got to go do that. But, yeah, that's pretty much my average day. Nowadays, I'm just at the crib chilling, But, yeah.
If you could escape and smoke cannabis anywhere in the world, who would it be with, if anyone, and where would it be with?
You know what? If I could escape and smoke, I would, by myself, first of all.
Okay.
I'm a loner, man. I like to be.
I mean, same.
There's a lot of people that like.
It would either be me or Tupac.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, if I'm being honest.
But I would be with myself, and I would be at the highest peak of Machu Picchu.
What the?
Yeah. Like, that was random.
I'm drawn to like magical places.
Finding
man.
Your zen or something.
Yeah, I'm just really drawn to like magical places, man. Places that you could just really feel the energy.
Yeah.
And Machu Picchu is one place that I've always wanted to visit. I just think it's so amazing how these people built a whole fucking civilization on this mountain. So yeah, I would definitely that would be, take me out there on a helicopter, put me on the highest peak, and leave me out there with a Dutch full of some crazy with some dabs in it and shit.
What about you, Gisette? Or just escape. You don't have to smoke, but just escape. Like, where would you go?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter where, but I would, I've been wanting to ride like a hot air balloon and just take me away.
You gotta see that hot air balloon movie. It was a hot air balloon movie. I forgot the name, but you might not think the same way after you see that movie.
Okay,
if you die on them or something.
They damn near die on them.
Oh, no, I don't want to see it. Never mind.
They get caught in a storm and shit. It's just crazy.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so.
That's funny.
I'll let you know next time. No. And so where can, if people are trying to find you on social media wise, where can they find you?
Man, they can find me. I'm pretty much on all social medias. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. What else is there?
And you're also...
I don't have a TikTok.
You're on all audio platforms as well.
Yeah, my music is on TikTok. But if y'all have a TikTok, go make a dance in my music.
Look up Ricky Rossetti on TikTok. Y'all better use that.
but everything is at Ricky Rossetti. Facebook at Ricky Rossetti. Instagram, at Ricky Rossetti. And same thing on Twitter. And that's where y'all can find me.
Nope. Okay, well, let's see. I usually bring one for my guests. So I brought you one of our podcast t-shirts, though.
Oh, dope.
Smoking notes.
Smoking t-shirt. Notes. Nice.
And I brought you some cannabis, so.
Oh, my brother.
Love it. Here you go. You can open it up. That one's called Texas Dream.
Texas Dream.
Yeah, and there's a little sample in it, too. only see his reaction. I remember Max's reaction.
Oh, yeah, right. That was funny. That's a, what is that? Yeah. Soap, right?
Yeah.
That's a soap, bar soap.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Kisses Dispensary?
Yep, you that's can check spot? That. Yep, that's my dispensary. So you can look it up on Facebook.
Nice, I appreciate it.
And open up it and smell it.
Oh.
Check it out.
Smell it. He's like, I want you to smell it. It's dope.
Smell it.
What is this, a gummy?
No, it's a soap.
It's a like sample of the soap.
Don't eat it. It's not a Tide bar or anything.
I was going to eat this one. What is this one, a soap too?
Yeah, it's the bigger bar of it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, it's just the bigger version? Okay.
Yeah, it's just a bigger version of that.
Good.
Yep, it's citrus, and every strain has its own, you know, benefits and whatnot, but that's my formula. I've created that cannabis formula myself.
Nice. Congratulations.
And it comes from one of the very first trees grown in the Houston area.
Nice.
Researched and grown.
So, I have a question for you.
Go for it. You have any questions for me, Gisette?
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I have a question for you.
How
has it been, you know, being in the cannabis industry in Texas?
It changed my life. Yeah. I started off about
has it been
two
difficult
and a half years
ago? Dealing with the people, trying to get everything off the ground?
I think what was difficult was the money and being very young and not knowing how to handle that.
Right.
Like, not knowing how to handle the success that came with it.
Right.
Because I don't think I was ready for it. I think I was more blindsided by it. Because we
That's
started
a good blindside though.
We started off. It is. It was a good problem to be in, but also like you gotta realize that finances and personal life, like your personal life, takes a toll. But I started off with hemp, which now even some people are still freaked out about hemp.
Right.
Like, they don't want to ingest it or put it in their body. Like they freak.
Right.
So that's what I started off with. So to me now that's child's play. Like now I'm dealing with all types of different strains of the whole leaf,
right.
Not just CBD. And right now CBD is the craze here, but what people don't understand is that's only one molecule of like hundreds of molecules that the plant contains.
Yeah, exactly.
So that formula right there contains every single molecule of the cannabis leaf, every single one.
So what like are the effects of this? Like, does this like relax you?
Every single molecule has different effects, and that contains, like I said, every single one. That's why people use the phrase full spectrum, but it can be deceiving when it comes to marketing.
Right.
Just because it says full spectrum, it's a lot of people, it's full spectrum CBD. That means it's a full amount of CBD.
Right.
So pretty much well relaxing.
But this
yeah.
literally, this comes from an organic root of a cannabis tree, this formula.
Mm.
And the tree is a hybrid of both sativa and indica.
Right.
So, yeah, you get the full throttle effect.
All of it, yeah.
And if you just look up, there's like CBN, I can't name off the top of my head, even myself when I research and do my research with all of them, one molecule helps with the pain of cancer.
Right. Wow.
So there's so many things that each molecule does, you just gotta do your research.
I'm gonna go home and take a shower.
So, like, that's what you gotta think about. Like, you gotta think about it. Like, people, like, I started off with hemp. That's just baby plant, pretty
right.
much. And that's what I started doing. I incorporated it with pet treats because at the time it was illegal for humans to consume.
Mm-hmm.
So the pet treat thing just like, boom, it like hit the fan.
Took off.
Like real fast. And then I was real young. That was like 2.5 years ago. And I'm 28 now.
Right.
So now going through everything I've gone through, I'm not that wise. Like, I'm still a nerd. You know,
still learning.
And I'm still young. And, you know, I have a friend like Gisette that helps me out, you know, with advice and stuff like that. And
right.
I have my family. But, yeah, I was really ignorant when it came to all the money coming in and being so young.
Right.
I didn't make the greatest choice at first.
I could relate to that. That's how I ended up in prison the first time.
Yeah.
Not spending my money wisely.
And I think you got to deal with, like, your family and friends and, you know, when your family and friends see you succeeding in something that they don't understand and they don't back you up. Like, at first my family was like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you putting all your money into this? It pays off. Like you said earlier, the number one thing that pays off is investing in yourself.
How did you get into that?
I was in college for pets.
Uh-huh.
And for pets. For animals. As a veterinary technician.
Like a dog.
Pretty much, for cats and dogs. And
shout out Bruce Wayne, my dog.
So, essentially, I was, like, so sick and tired of a lecture, and I was like, dude, this is dumb. Like, it was a lecture on products
like grooming products, and I'm sure Gisette understands some of the grooming.
People who don't know my day job, I work at a vet office, and I do grooming and vet tech for them. So,
But I got so sick of the lecture. Like, I was like, this is dumb. Like, why didn't somebody just create something like this? Like, I was sick and tired of it. So it was like a grooming lecture. Like, some of the products are dumb. Like the collars and stuff. I'm like, dude, people can invent different things like to help groomers out. Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. It's an easy fix if somebody just puts that time and effort to create that. Well, then there was another lecture. Like, all these skin conditions that come along with bathing, washing a dog, and fleas and whatnot. And I was like, dude, if these dogs just smoke some weed, that was the thought. Like, I know it's like strange, but that's how my mind worked. And I was like, if these animals just smoked or got lit, they would relax, they would chill out, they wouldn't have anxiety or stuff like that. And my girlfriend at the time, she was a baker. Like, she baked.
Right.
So I was like, I think I figured it out. Like, let's just put some, you know, hemp in treats or whatever. So that's what we did. We put the hemp into dog treats. She would bake the dog treats. And then we would go to all these farmer markets around Texas. We've gone everywhere. Dallas, USBR, dog shows, all kinds of dog shows, farmers markets, markets here in Houston. We were in a juice bar out here on the north side that sold our pet treats, and it took off like crazy. But mind you, we were very, very young.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, all the money came in, and I don't think I made the right choice. You know, at all. Like, I mean, now...
It happens, though. It does.
And then whenever, you know, we split apart because I was very ignorant. We were both very ignorant with money. And I don't think we were ignorant. We were just really young.
Right.
And so...
Naive.
Everything's a learning experience for everybody.
We didn't expect it at all. But basically, after that, I think when I branched off on my own... It was like, okay, brother, like, you gotta make things right in your life.
Yeah.
When the money comes around this time, don't make the same mistake the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my family in the beginning, family and friends would be like, hey, can you help me out with money and stuff like that? And I think that's what caused a lot of tension. And I was very greedy. I was like, no, like, I fucking busted my ass off for this. You do the same.
Yeah.
But now I realized, like, I can't be like that. You know, like...
Gotta stay humble.
Yeah, you have to remain humble. Yeah. And now this time around, I branched myself off. I created my own. This is my own. This is all me. Like, 100% me.
Nice.
No 50-50. This is all me.
You, yeah.
And now, dude, the Evan, like, right? The Evan you met is not the Evan you're seeing right now. Like, the Evan. Like, no, mind you, I'm still a nerd. Like, I've been a nerd since, like, you know, since existence. But, I mean, my very first toy was a Buzz Lightyear. And I always thought I was going to become an astronaut.
I'm more of a Woody kind of guy.
Yeah. I can see that. But, yeah, so I always thought I was going to be, like, I've always been into science, like, Bill Nye, science guy, like, nerdy.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm pretty nerdy, too. I just might not look nerdy. I guess if nerdy was... Had a visual, but
saying I just look like this.
but I'm real big like on I'd like to see like a lot of documentaries on like quantum physics.
Yeah.
So like I'm real drawn to like sciences of the quantum world.
They say that people that understand a little bit of quantum physics, they see the world
differently. Very different.
That other people you can see shapes in people in life. You can see shapes that other people can't see.
The thing with the quantum world is that things you have physics. Most people, I was one of them. I was in school and I had no idea what the word physics meant. You know, it just meant like, oh, those are the nerdy people taking smart people to take the pre-AP classes and shit. You know, they don't want to put me in physics. I kind of wish I would have went through. The thing with school is that they always want to teach you like the whole math part of shit. And like I'm not good.
Shit that we're not gonna ever use.
Yeah. And like I'm not good with like the whole formulas and the maths and shit.
Right.
I'm more into like the philosophies of the science because in the quantum world everything is basically theoretical because like you can't prove nothing in the quantum world.
Right.
But the thing is, you can run multiple tests over and over and over, and you'll get the same result, but you still can't figure out how the fuck
the people
did that.
Or the philosophers that came up with a lot of these philosophies and, you know, quantum physics, they gave up teaching people. They gave up. because they said that in their lifetime they could never, what they took the time and effort to understand, they couldn't teach.
And then it's so hard because you try to have a conversation with someone to try to get them to see from your perspective and why, and they're just still so stuck in their ways.
Close-minded.
It frustrates you. Like it's so simple.
Right.
It's really, the complexity of it is all in the simplicity of it.
But you know what helps,
you know,
all that?
It's so
simple. Cannabis. Cannabis helps all that. If you just smoke with one another,
hey, at the end of the day, cannabis.
At the end of the day, like cannabis, you know?
Here,
like,
hit this shit. Let me tell you a little bit about this quantum physics real quick. You're going to like it.
All right. Well, tell everyone again where they can find you.
Instagram, Ricky Rossetti. YouTube, Ricky Rossetti. Go subscribe to all of my stuff. Let me tell you a little something about the project that I got coming up.
Oh, go ahead.
I didn't get to tell y'all. It's called the Music Box. So what I'm going to do is, I know you say you're a nerd. You call yourself a self-proclaimed nerd, right? So do you go to Comic-Cons? You can't be a nerd if you don't go to Comic-Cons, bro.
No.
Nerd card has been revoked.
They creep me out. They creep me out because I know people have fetishes with those things. And I'm just, my grandma raised me right.
Your nerd card has been revoked.
No. A lot of people have fetishes, like weird sexual fetishes at those things. And I'm not going to be a part of it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah, they dress up and do stuff.
They do dress up.
No, but they do other stuff.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
not at the cons, though. They don't go at the cons.
No.
The reason I say the Comic Cons is because we were actually hired to do some work at the Comic Cons. We actually got to work with Marky Ramone from the Ramones, man. That was so cool. We got to work with Bam Margera. I drove Bam around in the car with me, man. Let me tell you, Bam is not like you see him on TV. So when I was at the cons, I saw that they would sell these boxes, right? And it was like $20 for this box. It was called a mystery box. What the hell is, what's in it? And they're like, well, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Like, do you want me to give you $20 and I don't know what I'm gonna get? And they were like, yeah, basically. So, but people were like buying up these boxes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is in them boxes? Like, let me see what you got. And like the stickers and shirt and stuff like that. Different little stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really cool. So, I was telling you guys that my music is so diverse, so different,
yes.
So diverse. So right now I have a full catalog of songs. And it's like, I can't put this City to City with Monumento, right?
Right.
Because City to City is a straight rap song, and Monumento is more of an islandy, Latin, urban type of sound.
Right.
So usually most artists would say, well, I'm going to put this on my reggaeton project, and I'm going to put this on my rap project, which is what I was going to do. I was originally going to say, okay, well, I'm going to do a hip-hop project, and then I'm going to do a R&B project, and then I'm going to do a Latin project. Well, that kind of all went out the window with the little mystery box thing. But my whole thing is called the Music Box. So I'm working on the artwork right now.
Okay.
And it's basically going to be, it's going to be the same artwork. I'm going to release a series of singles, and they're all going to be under the Music Box. And it's like the same thing. You open the Music Box, you never know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? So the way that I'm tying it all together is,
right,
it's gonna be the same album, the same artwork, except for each song it'll say the title of that song.
Right.
But considering it's the Music Box, you don't know if it's gonna be in Spanish, English, be hip hop, it might be R&B. So that's what I got going on right now. So real soon, you guys follow me on all my social medias, and real soon I'm gonna start releasing my first single. I got some music with Big Gemini coming out.
I love him.
I've heard something from him for like years.
Yeah, well, Big Jim is part of, we got this little like team going on right now where we're working with different artists and we're writing for them. Because I do a lot of writing for different people too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've written for like DJ Kane and I've written for like a few other artists.
Okay.
We started this team where, we got Ace One producing, and it's me, Big Gemini, Sosa from, Sosa and Tone, and, my boy Adrian, he's basically the business. So
right.
Adrian is the business guy. He's the guy who's going out and, shopping all the music. But we're working on some stuff with Big Jim to do some placements for like some movies and stuff like
what
that.
What the?
Yeah, so that's so you know.
How do you cast people for this? Do you put a website out for them, or like do you just like people you know? Like you just like oh, are you interested?
As far as what like we're not making the movies.
Like I guess how do you like connect?
Features,
or, yeah, or like features. Connect people. With, like with these projects. Like how can people if they're interested on helping you out with a project? What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can reach out to me directly, man.
Okay.
A lot of people don't want to reach out directly for some reason. You know, if you just reach out to me,
I'm always... Is going
to
be a yes or no?
Yeah.
You know? I was going to ask him. He says yes or no, then okay.
Yeah, that's, I've gotten that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people have said, hey, let's do some music. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Oh, man, I didn't really want to ask you, or they hesitate. And I was like, why? Just ask me. You know, like, I'm not... The thing with me is, like, right now, like, honestly, like, there's a lot of artists that charge for, like, features and stuff.
Oh,
like,
mm-hmm.
like, me, like, I really don't charge for features. I can,
right.
but I enjoy working with people. And if the thing is, I gotta like it. that's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's like I gotta like it. If I don't like it, then I'm
most likely
might
not
just not do
it.
Yeah. Unless you pay me a whole lot of money that you probably don't want to pay. So yeah. That's the game. That's the truth, guys. If I overcharge you for a feature, it's probably because I don't like the song. I don't want to be on it. That's just me being 100% real. That's what it is. You know, a lot of people just hit me up. Y'all want to do something, y'all want to work with something, just hit me up. The way that most of these projects have come about, though, has been just through networking and relationships, man.
For sure.
That's another tip that I would give the people that are trying to do this.
Right.
Before you really work on your music so much, establish your relationships. Relationships in this industry are everything.
Yes.
Your reputation. Like, my dad tells me The Incredibles, the movie The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Where they say your identity is everything.
Yeah.
That's what my dad told me. He's like,
it's
your identity is everything.
It's
your reputation is everything.
It's the truth.
You have to always do the right thing, even though the people around you might not be doing the right thing.
It's the truth.
You have to do the right thing for yourself.
Yeah,
yep.
It's the truth. That's the formula for success right there in the song.
Mm.
You know, you do the right thing, man, where good things are going to happen to you. There's people that do bad things, and they still... have good things happen to them, but
yeah, karma it comes around. Don't forget that.
But you know what? It's really about what you can live with, man. You know, some of us can live with more than others. So if you can live with it and it's not as bad to you, then by all means. But yeah, definitely follow your
right.
heart. You know, and yeah, you know, if you guys want to do this music stuff and this, you know, entertainment business, the main
yep.
thing is your relationships. That's what's gotten me to where I'm at right now.
Right.
You know, just building relationships.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's me, same thing. Just building relationships with people that I've met over the past year and a half. And I mean, I've just been blessed so far to even have like people even be willing to even come and do the interviews and things like that with us. And I mean, it's just from, like you said, like building relationships and networking and getting to know people.
It's like that movie, man. If you build it, they will come.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's so real. That's so real. If people see that you're working,
yeah.
People see that you're grinding and you're putting effort into. Nobody wants to do something for somebody that's not doing at least the same for themselves,
right?
You know, so that's like another thing too. Like if an artist hits me up,
acoustic version of this,
yeah. if an artist hits me up and he's not really putting effort into his stuff, then
right.
I don't want to put time and effort into a song that I know is not gonna come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's one of my pet peeves, when it's like people hit me up for verses and then I never hear it anywhere. It's like, well, I'm just gonna use that verse somewhere else then, because sometimes I might like it. So it's like, well, I'm gonna just reuse it.
Yeah, I'll just keep it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a thing right there.
Dope. Okay, well, you guys can find me at on Instagram at Your One Shorty J, and you can follow Evan on
Southern Kisses Dispensary on Facebook.
All right, and then make sure everyone y'all follow Ricky Versetti.
Versetti everywhere, IG, Facebook, everything is Ricky Versetti. If you Google me, Ricky Versetti, it's like I got like a whole page. I don't know how that happened because you know they got those search engine optimization.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need that. So yeah. I got lucky.
I sold out of all my edibles. If not, I would have brought you some edibles, but I sold out. So
we got to get some for JT because he said that's the only way he's going to do the interview.
Okay, well, I'm not going to make another batch.
I can see him saying that.
He said you got to give me some of y'all's edibles.
I'll make a batch, but coronavirus, like, people went crazy. So I have no more edibles. I have soaps, lip glosses, and some Dink Warrior cords that have the THC in.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So,
or cords.
necklaces. Oh, I think I have one. I'll show you.
It's like a hemp cord. Yeah, well, we'll have to show you. You're gonna show him?
Yeah.
All right.
Has it been an hour already? You've been rambling.
Almost.
So this is a dank warrior cord right here.
That's dope.
I'm not giving this one up. This is the last one.
He's like, moonlight, just FYI.
So, I guess.
I'm glad you said that. I was about to tell you, too.
Let me have it.
Bro, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, so this is a hemp cord, and a lot of people prefer hemp to light their J's or to light their bong.
Yeah.
Because gas lighters have chemicals in them, and that's why a lot of people, when they experience it, they feel sick.
They don't like
or
it.
Or nauseated because the gas has... like you're smoking, inhaling gas. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. So with this, you avoid all risk of inhaling any chemicals. You light the hemp cord, then you light your J or you light your whatever. And then, so it's a necklace and it adjusts down to a bracelet. You can adjust these two notches down.
What's in there?
What kind of elixir is that? is that a potion?
It's the formula. This is the formula.
Oh, that's the formula.
Yeah, you can take a look at it.
All right, Plankton.
We can't give you all the quantum physics on that, y'all.
You can take a look at it. So, that one's the peppermint, and then the other one I had was strawberry champagne. But that's pure cannabis.
That is right there, is that?
Yep.
You can eat that?
You can put it on anything. The strawberry champagne, this lady, she put it on top of her vanilla ice cream.
Oh, she's smart.
So, yeah, you can put it on anything. I mean, like, you can put it on top of your balsamic vinaigrette salad or berry salad or whatever.
Inside of your blood?
You can put it on your... You can do whatever you want with this. Yeah, people have got...
I hope this ain't a PG show, because...
No, this is not a PG.
Just that it fixes the settings on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is Dank Warrior Cord. This.
Yeah, that's really dope.
Okay, guys.
Peace out.
Thank you guys for tuning in to Smoking Notes. We'll check us out next week.
Peace out, y'all.